Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They are the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 17th to the 19th, 2019 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. On this very special episode, we're going to be talking about a game that not only do you need to play, but you got to act fast because it's coming to you on Kickstarter very soon, and you should pick up Cube of Death. So I want to welcome my co-host and buddy, Adrian Benson. Adrian, how are you?
I'm great, John. Thanks.
Are you looking forward to Cube of Death tonight?
As much as I look forward to anything, yeah.
Because you are ebullient. You are the person I always think of to have such a smile on your face and to really lift everyone up.
That's me.
You are just so cheerful.
Yep.
When I think of you, I think of big smiles and just beaming with warmth and love for everyone around you.
Probably time to move on.
That's awesome.
Okay, Flat Adrian, so we'll move on to our special guest tonight. We are joined by not one, but two very talented individuals. The first is, I don't even know what his title is anymore at TSR Games, but he is head honcho of all the podcasts at the podcast network there, along with being a host on the Mythwits and game designer for Cube of Death. I want to welcome Mr. Peter Bryant. Peter, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. I don't know what my title is either. I mean, it's a fit officially up until recently. It's been director of new media, but I've recently stepped up the game. I think it's still the same title, but I've actually been signing it Media Czar now because I just like that title better. So anyway, yeah, I do all the media stuff, and I also have taken on a one of the lead roles at the company.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Good
just time. Be mindful that you don't have any yellow revolution coming up where the people uprise and next thing you know, you and your family are in a cellar and never come out.
We're the people. I think.
I hope so. That went to a dark place very quickly.
Yeah, that accelerated quickly.
Yeah, there you go. And we also have a friend of yours who we all know and love, who I believe is moving forward and kind of taking more of a higher level role over at the Mythwits. Talking about your buddy and co-host, Mr. Mike Kafis. Mike, how are you?
Hi, John. I would just like to say that I am challenging Adrian to a deadpan off tonight.
You lose.
Challenge accepted. This is going to be so good.
Mike has moved up. He is now the producer of the Mythwits.
Yes.
He's running the show.
Way to go. I'm not even a producer of this thing.
I don't even have my hands on the wheel. It just, I think I've gotten the brakes and the accelerator down. So
are you saying Jesus take the wheel while you just handle everything else?
Someone's taking the wheel. We'll see. Maybe I'll just use my knee.
Oh, that's what you're going to use.
That's not my knee.
This is going to be a spick take episode. I'm sure of it. I'm going to get the plastic tarp out and get going. That's two for two, people. For everyone who's either ever listened to the show or never listened to the show, it doesn't matter because tonight is different than we've ever done it before. Usually, we just kind of chat and we have the guests and we do a little of this and a little of that. But tonight, we're going to chat for a little bit, but then we're going to play Cube of Death for you live on the show so that you can listen to it and see what you think, which should be yay, you want to go buy this game right away. But I really just kind of have a good time with it. Pete, do you want to talk a little bit about Cube of Death, what it is, where it came from, and why you're back on the show again talking about it this time around?
Yeah, sure. So, my God, 8 years ago, I think it was, I go to TotalCon every year, and then I started doing these live events at TotalCon. So I would run this little show, and I was coming up with events for it, like things to do. And one of the things I came up with, I was like, let's do a trivia game. You know, I'll have guests come on and we'll play trivia. And you know, they'll get points, and with the person with the highest points wins. Real simple. You know, and I had a list, had a paper, had like, I think I had like six sheets of questions, and I'll, you know, give people categories, and they'd answer questions, and the winner, you know, was the person who got the most points. So that started evolving, and I figured out, I was like, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to do a different kind of trivia game, a trivia game I haven't seen yet. And this is a role-playing convention. So I was like, I wonder if I could turn a trivia game into a role-playing game. And that's what I did. So I created characters for it. And then I took the questions, and the characters have hit points. And if you get questions right, you don't take damage. If you get it wrong, you take damage. Now at the convention, mostly it's really just one-on-one. It's like teams. So I would do teams. So I'd have a team of three versus a team of three, and they would attack each other. And, you know, and over the years it evolved. So I started adding, magic items and monsters and just figuring out how to do things differently. And then I was at Gary Con 2 years ago. And, I was sitting there with the cards, and cause you know, it was fun to read the trivia questions with people. And I figured out like, hey, I figured this out. I got three different kinds of cards. It can be 1, 2, and 3 points. And if I just deal out cards like poker cards to people, and they ask each other questions, if you get it right, you put the card in your pile. If you get wrong, you put it in their pile. Or if they get it, you know, either way. So we tried that out, and it worked out really, really well. And people had a lot of fun with it. And I had like almost everybody at the table was like, where can I buy this? And I was like, you can, it's not for sale. It's just something I do. It's a thing I have that I have fun with. And they were like, hey, dude, you got to sell this. You got to sell it. So I got it. I had to make it so it could be sold. Like it was just, you know, it just wasn't in that kind of format. It was in something I knew how to do everything, but you know, I needed it to be in a format that other people could consume and use and would be user friendly. I made a few changes. I upped the game a little bit, and it last 2 years, put it all together, and now it is ready to go. So yeah, that's it. I mean, I got them right here. I could show them off if you'd like.
Yes.
Well, if you want to give the milk away for free.
All right. So, you know, basically at its heart, it's a trivia game. So the questions come on trivia cards. So let's say, here's a green card. That's easy. So this is what I call basic. So I got in basic, advanced, and expert, kind of like the old box sets. You know, there was the basic set, the advanced set, and the expert. So that would be easy. This is it. Blue is advanced, and red is expert. So this is a three decks this size. It's 100 cards each. The basic questions, or the basic cards, have 4 questions on them. So that's 400 basic questions. The advanced questions have 3. That's another 300. So there's 700. And then the expert have another 100. They have 1 question on them. Well, it's a 2-part question. So 2 questions, 1 question, 2 questions, but it's really 1 card. So it's another 100. So that's 800 different questions. When I pull a card, if there's more than 1 question on it, so for the basic and advanced, you will get to choose a category. So for example, this basic card here, categories are comic books, old school tunes, horror, or Monopoly. You'll tell me what category you'd like the question from, and then I will read that question and you got to give me an answer, which brings me to the
answering questions will resolve the whatever feats or of role-playing, right?
Yeah. I'm getting there, Mike. All right. So, you'll have characters, right? So this is your character card. And for example, this is the Berserker. Adrian's going to be playing the Berserker tonight.
Hurrah.
And the Berserker has 2 abilities. And you'll get to use one of these abilities through the game. So you got to pick one. So it's either, you know, in case of the Barbarian, there is the player versus player ability, because that happens. You can fight each other. The special ability is Smash. The hero delivers maximum damage on the attack, maybe done after the roll. So that's 6 points because it's D6. The quest ability is Rage. Upon reaching zero or less life points, the Berserker will return to 6 life points. So Adrian's going to have to decide through this game, at some point he's going to use one of these, and then the card's used up. Now down the side, you'll see there are hit points, or numbers, and these are hit points, or life points. There's 25 of them. And as you take damage, you just slide this down. As you heal, you slide it up, right? This way, you don't have to write down hit points. You don't have to keep it. You don't have to keep track of anything. You have to keep track of it, but you don't have to write it down on a piece of paper.
Nice chits you got there.
You like this? Yeah, yeah. I got some nice chits, right? Showing you my chits. Now, this all comes to the adventure portion. These are the adventure cards, and you can see they're all color coded. Brown is the adventure cards. I wore my brown cards. This would be barracks, right? In this case. And you can see there's a diagram of the room. It has an encounter on it. It tells you a little description of the counter. There's a basic and an advanced choice that you can make. In this case, it's an orc squad, and there's a repugnant smell of orcs and the sound of snoring. You can either sneak past the orcs or fight the orcs and take their stuff. And you're giving two choices. One is a green one. One's a blue one. They're color coded. And if you're colorblind, I took that into consideration. If you're colorblind, it says basic and advanced. So if you just want to sneak past the orcs, I'll pick up a basic card. It's an easier question. You'll get four categories to choose from. And if you get it right, you sneak past the orcs. If you get it wrong, you take a D6 of damage. If you go for the advanced, you say, I'm going to fight the orcs and take their stuff. I'll give you an advanced question. If you get that right, I give you this card, right? You put it down next to you. Now, in this case, not everybody has cards, so I gave you all a printout of all the magic items. I'll tell you what magic item it is you got, but you would get a magic item. And then during the game, just like your special ability, at some point you're going to go, you know what? I'm going to use my ability here. It's Amulet of Shadows. I'm going to use the quest ability to ignore all damage from an encounter, and you'll cash that in. You won't take damage. So you'd answer a question wrong from an encounter. Now it's important because it says encounter, not trap, not hazard, but from an encounter. And you'd say, well, I'm not going to take that damage. I'd say, okay, use your amulet. That's it. That's pretty simple. When you play tonight, that's what we're going to play. We're going to play a quest version. We're going to do the whole gamut. If you want to just play quick, I would give you 4 of these, 2 of these, and 1 of these. And each person would get a hand like that. We would go around the table, and we'd ask each other questions from our hand. So what I would do is I'd say, this is my turn. I'd say, hey, Jonathan, do you want to – I'm going to use this basic card on you. Do you want comic books, old school tunes, blah, blah, blah? You'd pick. I'd ask you the question. If you get it right, I give you the card and you put it in your point pile. And it's got 1 point on it, right? So it's worth 1 point. If you get it wrong, I put it in my point pile. So I got a 1-pointer. So you get 4 1-pointers, 2 2-pointers, and 1 4-pointer. And at the end of the game, you pick up your pile, you count your points. Winner's the one with the highest points. Really simple. Super simple. Couldn't get more simple than that. Awesome. So. That's it. That's the game.
I think that's a great explanation for it, because really, although it seems like a simple game, there's a lot to it, but it's a great casual game. Something I think that would be perfect for playing at a con when you're waiting in a line.
That it makes for a great con game. It's also, one of the things I thought about that I would see some people, wanting to get it. Cause there's a ton, like I said, 800 trivia questions, all very well researched. This is something that let's say you're like, I don't know if I'd ever play this with anyone, but God, I'd love all that trivia, right? You could do like a card a day, or you could sit on the toilet and, go through your cards and just read like you would like your book or a phone or whatever. And just like, or it doesn't have to be on the toilet. It could be anywhere, but saying
classy,
you could put these in the back and you could put it in your bathroom. It could be like a bathroom book. I'm just saying. It would not hurt my feelings one bit if that's how you consume my material, is my point.
So the problem with people keeping it in the bathroom, Pete, is like, what if they run out of TP and then this is all they got? Do you really want them using your fantastic knowledge here to take care of all the needs?
I don't think they want to. These are some pretty sturdy cards.
Hey, when you're desperate, I'm not judging.
Cut apart. You might not want to cut something. Cut a paper cut down there would not be fun.
I will take your word for it.
What's the quality of the cards like, speaking of paper cut?
They're thick, Mike, with a double C.
Yeah, thick. Look, they got
they are. It's great quality.
They're standard, good, good quality card. They're not, I mean, they're not super quality. They're like what you would expect, professional quality card.
You don't want to get caught with that.
No. I was really impressed, Pete, with the production quality of this. You sent a demo quantity to us, and just really high quality printing on it. The colors are great. The text is easy to read. Your design's fantastic. Your color coordinate, like, you really, it can tell that you spent so long on this because it's brilliant.
Dude, I was in one of these forums where we're talking about games, a game design forum. And I asked a question about, you know, making sure you get your colors right when you send to printers and asking people if they'd had any issues with that. And it was a game designer's forum. And the person asked me, like, they're like, well, what does picking your colors have to do with the design of your game? And I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean? What do I mean? And they're like, well, that's, you know, that's for your art person. I'm like, well, I kind of am the art person, but I mean, like,
when you're my art person,
right. But I'm also kind of like, when you're designing a game, like, you don't think that's part of the overall design. Like, that's not in your mind, because it is in mine. Like, every aspect of the everything, that how the person picks the cards up, what they see, the direction they pick them up. To me, that's all important. It's all the part of the experience. Like, these colors took me forever. Like, I needed, it was this blue. It was in my head. And it had to be this blue and like this green, you know, it had to be this rich, like I wanted my colors so you could almost taste them. You know what I mean? Like, nice, rich, meaty colors, you know, this brown, this chocolatey brown, this, like, it's like a chocolate bar. It's delicious. You know, just, and on top of that, I had to do a lot of research, like this black. All right. So you see that black, this black is like super friggin' black, right? It's called rich black. And when you send it to a printer, you don't pick black in Photoshop. This actually looks a tiny bit gray in Photoshop, because what you do is it puts a little bit of color, like puts a little bit of blue and like a little bit of another color in there. So it actually comes out with ink, comes out blacker than just straight black ink. Don't ask me. I don't know. But it's cool. It's very rich.
Oh, man, you're a real Steve Jobs there. I'll tell you.
You and I, same wavelength, Mike. I was literally thinking, you know, Jobs would never let an Apple store go out and be like, no, I can't look at that. I got to get my art guy designing the wooden tables there. He'd be knee deep in it and say, no, that's not the right shade of wood there. Let's really go a little more natural on the wood.
Oh, you're real Peter Jobs Bryant there. Yeah, that's what you are.
Hey, buddy. No, look, it's just how I design.
You're not wrong, Pete.
You know what? I was along for the ride, and he's done great. I am so proud of this that's going to fruition. And while, before we move on, I just want to say that while I just checked the Instagram, and evidently there is already an account called Cube of Death, which is really BS. It only has like less than 30 followers. I still think that at Peter Bryant, if you ever get these cards, I want you to take a picture of yourself reading the cards on the toilet. That is the new thing that we're going to have, where everyone is going to send Peter Bryant pictures of their cards, them looking at cards on the toilet. Nothing, unacceptable according to the standards of the internet, but we want to know that there's a toilet and a card, a cube of death.
I don't want to see any parts.
Yeah.
No parts. Like, you know, you do the thing that they did. Like, anyway, that's fine.
Hey, did you keep all your cards the same size? You didn't go with tarot size, did you?
Oh, I did. Okay, so I did. All right, so I did this. So
size matters.
Size matters. All right. So question cards are poker size, and these adventure cards. So your hero and your adventure cards are tarot size, because there's just too much information to put all this like adventure card onto a poker size. I tried it and it's not good. I couldn't do them all in tarot. Like, I had considered doing everything in tarot. It's cost prohibitive. Tarot cards are like 1.5 times the cost. If I did it all in tarot, I would not be able to make this a Kickstarter. It wouldn't be viable.
You've done a lot of good work. And Adrian, you've never experienced Cube of Death before, have you?
I have not.
We got a newbie gentleman.
Yes.
I have no information going into it, because naturally Jonathan didn't tell me anything, because
we're professional.
You know everything you need to know, Adrian. You're good to go. You know
you're going to win, my friend.
All right.
I'll tell you, I'll tell you, I ran a game up in New York. So I went up to New York to visit with some friends, Angelia and Steven from Total Con, and James and Mary from also from TSR. We all got together just like for a weekend of fun, nothing serious. We played some games. I brought Cube of Death with me and I let them play it. And Angelia won. And she felt like she was the weakest link. Like she's like, oh, I'm going to lose this so bad. And I was like, you never know with this game. Mike has even won. Mike is,
whoa, Mike won?
And Mike has lost miserably.
Yes. So there's that aspect of it. So that was a big part of it. Like I wanted to capture a lot of the role-playing experience. So one of the things that was important to me was that there was dice involved and that dice could screw you or help you win. So just like a role-playing game, like, I don't know, you ever been playing a role-playing, you ever played a role-playing game and you get in a situation, you got this great character, you get into a situation that you should be able to handle and the dice just stick it to you. That can happen in Cube of Death. Mike could get every question wrong and I could roll ones on all of his damage. Adrian could get four questions wrong and I could roll four sixes in a row.
I would say at Total Con, at the best, I think it's on tape somewhere, but me trying to say what the chromatic dragons were.
Yeah.
I think during that one, I actually won that game and got that question miserably wrong.
I remember I was like, Mike, I don't think anyone's ever answered a trivia question so horribly in the history of this game. Like you got an award for that one.
I did.
You're talented, good sir.
So good.
All right, let's do it.
So I just want to let listeners know, normally we're family friendly, but the game won't be, just to kind of give us a little more freedom for what you might experience at home when you play Cube of Death. Not that you have to, but I personally find it most enjoyable with a nice adult beverage if you're of legal age, wherever you are. It's a fun beer and pretzel kind of game. So just keep that in mind. And Pete, please take the reins.
All right, and I'll add to that real quick, Jonathan. If you want to make it family friendly, just go through the cards. You only have to take out like four or five of them. There's only a couple cards in here that touch on things that you don't want to explain to your kids. There's a couple Monty Python questions that are kind of, you know, maybe you don't want to have in front of your kids. But other than that, you take out like three, four cards, you're good to go. All right, let's do it. All right, I'm gonna take you all on a little adventure. We're going to start. I'm going to go because I'm going to do how I see you guys. Everybody see each other differently in their hangouts. I'm going to start with Adrian. I'm going to go Jonathan. I'm going to go Mike. And we're just going to go around and around like that. Okay. And let me remind you all, there are encounters, traps, and hazards. And the reason why I say it's important is because abilities will dictate what you can do with any one of those. Oh, I'm sorry. And there's a fourth one, player versus player. So here we go. Adrian.
Yes.
We're going to start you with this one. The one I pulled off before. You have entered a barracks. There is an orc squad in there, a squad of orcs. There's a repugnant odor and the sound of snoring. Do you want to sneak past the orcs or fight the orcs and take all their stuff?
I'm going to sneak past the orcs, I think.
That is unlike you.
Yes. Yes. Everybody always like, oh, I'm going to go for the advanced one because it sounds so cool to like, oh, I'm going to fight them all. And then like, that was one of the reasons, that's one of the way Angelia won. She kept taking the easy ones and everybody else was getting all tore up. Here we go. Comic books, old school tunes, that's cartoons, horror or Monopoly?
Let's actually do Monopoly.
Monopoly, all right. How many railroads are on a standard Monopoly board?
Four.
That is correct. You sneak past the orcs. Adrian. Oh, not Adrian. Jonathan, sorry. Jonathan, you come to a courtyard. The passage leads out into a withered garden with an ogre walking the grounds. Do you want to do a stealth check to avoid combat or kill the ogre and take his stuff?
I think I am very non-aggressive. As an elven species, we respect all life. So I would have to sneak past it and try not to be obscene.
Gotcha. All right. Very good. Game of Thrones. This is a good one for you. Dune, biology, or Indiana Jones?
Oh, Game of Thrones, I guess.
All right. What does a Lannister always do?
Well, on the show, it seems like they're always spending time in bed with each other. But I don't think that's the answer you want. I think you're actually looking for pay their debts.
That is correct. All right. Very good. Two for two. Mike, you sneak past the ogre. Mike, you come to a bend in the hall. and you come face to face with a deadly opponent. This is a player versus player battle with a person to your right. So the person to your right is going to be my right. So it's going to be Adrian. So you are going up against Adrian.
Oh, so no.
All right. So this we're going to get into the expert cards and the expert cards when it comes to player versus player. It's done like a duel between the two of you. So Mike, I'm going to ask you a question first. If you get it right, Adrian, you take a D6. Then Mike, I'll follow up with the follow-up. I'll follow up with part two. If you get that right, Adrian, you'll take another D6. Okay. However, anytime Mike, if you get the first one wrong, you take a D6. And then Adrian, if you get the second part right, Mike, you take a D6. So either one of you will take one or two D6.
All right.
So Mike.
Oh god, yes.
Category is Dune.
I don't have any dice, so you're gonna have to roll it.
No, I'm gonna do all the rolling for everybody. Let's try it. What Fremen name does Paul Atreides take?
Say that one more time.
What Fremen name does Paul Atreides take?
Moishi Nachum.
You're not far off.
You're not far off. Mike, you take 4 points of damage.
Okay.
So what Mike's going to do is he's going to take his card and he's going to slide his slider down, or in his case, he's probably going to write down on a piece of paper because he doesn't have this card in front of him. He's going to slide it down to that spot.
I have the PDF pulled up, so I'm just marking the PDF.
Okay. Adrian, it goes back to you. You get the second part of that. What is a Moadib?
It's one of those fruity drinks with an umbrella in it that they serve on the...
Thank you.
Sounds like something I would drink.
Thank you.
I like that answer, but it is incorrect. It is a mouse, the kangaroo mouse native to Arrakis.
Oh,
Adrian, 6 points.
Bummer. Okay. All right.
All right. So that's the first player versus player round. All right, Adrian, you are up.
Okay.
You come to a treasure room. Ooh. As you rifle through the treasure pile, you step on a pressure plate. Do you want to take an agility check to avoid the acid spray or try to detect traps to deactivate the trap before it goes off?
Let's take the agility test.
Okay. All right. Pulp era, old school tunes, geek literature, or Greek mythology?
Good Lord. Pulp era.
Okay. Pulp era. Ooh. Okay. What was Tarzan's real name?
Oh, damn it.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God.
This is one of those ones where people go, oh, crap, I knew that.
Yeah, and I do. It's
right before you said the question, I was just saying, I got to read that again.
Read Tarzan? It's a great book.
Yeah, off topic, I've been listening to a lot of pulp era, like Robert E. Howard focused podcasts. So I've been thinking, yeah, it's time to get back to. But I can't remember. So Bob Smith, that was his name. It was Bob Smith.
John Clayton. The second. Or Viscount / Lord Greystoke.
Lord Greystoke.
Adrian, that's 1 point of damage.
Oh, hell.
I could take that. All right, Jonathan.
Yes, sir.
You come to a hall bend as well. As you round the corner of the hall, jets of flame shoot out from both sides. There's no treasure in this one. It's a basic agility check to avoid taking damage. Star Wars, modern pulp, geek literature, or comic books?
Star Wars.
All right, Star Wars. What was the Sith name of Count Dooku?
Count Dooku was known as Darth Sidious because clearly that's what he was supposed to be. You ever realize they come up with really stupid names for these characters?
Yeah. Unfortunately, it was Darth Tyrannus.
Oh, crap. You're right.
And he was so arrogant and giving us a Star Wars lesson, and he was totally fucking wrong.
I mean, the cover name. Jonathan. I mean, that's what he was known as in his private circle.
5 points of damage. 5 points.
Wah-wah.
All right, Mike. That was good. You come to a display room. Large statues spring to life and attack. Do you want to escape the statues or destroy them and search for treasure?
I want to destroy them and search for treasure.
Ooh, a brave soul. All right, Mike. Oh, not bad. Indiana Jones, TMNT, or Dune?
You definitely should go with Dune.
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones. All right.
Oh, I'm not.
What actor, you stand a real good chance of getting this one. What actor played a young Indiana Jones in the film Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade?
River Phoenix.
Bam! You must be listening to the Mythwits.
Way to go.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mike, you have earned yourself a dragon cloak.
A dragon cloak.
You search through the rubble of the statues you destroyed, and you find a dragon cloak. Now you have it. You have that file ready, right? For our audience, dragon cloak, what it does is, for the player versus player, it ignores all damage from an attack. So if one of the other players attacks him, he can just say, "I don't take it." And for the quest ability, he can escape any hazard involving fire.
Right, jeez, so that would have come in handy.
That would have been handy.
We had a Holocaust cloak.
Yeah, exactly. All right, very good job, Mike. Very good. All right, Adrian.
Okay.
You come to a bridge, a slimy bridge at that. A rushing stream is broken through with an old slimy bridge crossing. Do you want to take an agility check to cross the bridge or reach over the side to grab something shiny?
Reach over the side and grab something shiny.
Nice. All right, here we go. Norse mythology. Oh, you got pulp era or Farscape.
I'm going to try pulp era again.
Oh, boy. All right.
Damn it.
This never is another
Farscape, did you?
Huh. This is another Tarzan question. Sorry. What was the name of the fictional species of great apes in the Tarzan novels?
You wrote these questions, right? Don't you know anything about like Lovecraft or Howard or any of those guys? Yep. Are they all Tarzan?
No, they're not all Tarzan. You just happen to get the two. It just happens that way. Probably the only two Tarzan questions. No, there's another one. There's one more.
I don't know. Bobo to Silverbacks. I don't know.
Hey, Bobo to Silverbacks.
They are the Mangani. All right, Adrian, 3 points of damage.
All right, starting to get a little worrisome.
There you go. All right, Jonathan.
Yes, sir.
What
is Star Wars? No.
You're walking down a hall, and you come across a giant rat eating the remains of a dead warrior. Do you want to back away and hope it doesn't spot you, or kill it and loot the body it's feeding on?
I think I run away screaming.
Okay. All right. DC
Comics. It's a rat!
Fantasy, RPGs, or technology?
Technology.
Technology. All right. How much RAM? This is like, hey, Jonathan, how does baby food taste? How much RAM did the Commodore 64 have?
I'm going to say 8.
Oh, Jonathan, 64 kilobytes. Commodore 64. 3 points of damage.
Hold on. Because, see, I was going to say, even if someone was going to hopefully guess the obvious of 64, was it 64 bytes, kilobytes, or whatever bytes? You know what I mean? You're going to require the increment? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Mike. You come to, or this dragon cloak may come in handy. You're walking down the hall and you come to a lava flow. The floor has collapsed into a lava flow. Basic. Okay, so it's agility check to leap over the lava. So if you get this wrong, this would be a good place to use your cloak.
Okay. There's no other choice. It's kind of like
yeah, this one's no treasure. There's not all the cards have treasures on. Okay. Indiana Jones. Damn, what the fuck? How do you guys keep getting the same? Like, you all each keep getting the same category. Indiana Jones, Dune again, history, or board games. And I did shuffle these, so it's kind of odd.
Board game. I don't want to do board games.
Indiana Jones, Dune, history, or board game? Board games?
Board games.
Okay. In the game Clue, what is the name of the great white hunter?
Right. That is Bobo the Monkey.
That would be Koino Mustard. 2 points of damage, Mike. 2 points.
All right.
Adrian, we're back to you.
Do I need a
cloak or something? Or
do you want to use the cloak?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I didn't know when I was supposed to invoke that. Oh,
I'm sorry. You can use it if you... Yeah, that's fine. Then ignore the 2 points.
Okay.
Adrian, you come to an intersection, and you come face-to-face with a deadly opponent. Battle with the player of your choice.
John.
Okay. So, Adrian, here's your first part.
Wait, question. Do I have the cloak now? Not anymore, right? It's gone.
Gone. Okay. Cloak is gone. You used it. All right. So, Adrian, the category is modern cartoons.
Oh, dear.
What is the last name of SpongeBob SquarePants' coworker, Squidward? Squidward's last name is what? And Mike is a big SpongeBob fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm a huge sponge file.
What's the answer then? Because much like Game of Thrones, not one episode. I've never seen SpongeBob fucking SquarePants.
You've never seen
SpongeBob? I don't even understand the appeal. So his last name must be Squiddy Pants.
Close, but no.
Tentacles. Tentacles is his last name. Four points of damage.
I think I've heard that somewhere. Okay.
Jonathan.
Yes.
How many tentacles does Squidward have?
Okay. Sorry, I got to picture him.
Picture this, Jonathan.
Six. Yes. Six is
correct. Adrian. Woo. Take an additional 3 points.
So I picked on John because I thought he would be easy to beat.
Spread, you know, you got to spread the love for the damage, but you're spreading it on yourself.
All right. So where are we with everybody? What, Adrian, how many points you got left?
Oh, 8.
Jonathan?
17.
And Mike?
16.
Woo!
Jeez. Okay.
Don't forget your magic or your special ability there, Adrian.
Yeah, no.
All right. Oh, okay. Here we go. This is going to take a while. All right, this is a grand melee. So the heroes all come together to do battle. So what I'm going to do is I go down the line. So I go, Adrian's going to attack Jonathan. John's going to attack Mike. Mike's going to attack Adrian. This one of these rounds could really do someone in. All right. So we'll start with Adrian against Jonathan.
Okay.
Marvel Comics, not the MCU. This is the comics. What color was Iron Man's first suit of armor?
I wasn't even alive then. Adrian, good luck.
None of us. Well, Adrian, I think Adrian was probably. So,
yeah, old God. Man. Well, they're not wrong. God. The only suit I can picture him in is the red and gold one. And that can't be right. Red and gold.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was gray. He didn't paint. Remember, he made it in that cave. And he didn't have,
yep.
He could make an arc reactor, but he couldn't fabricate paint. I don't know.
Paint is pretty hard. I mean, look how long it took GW to come up with the contrast paints, right?
Right. 1 point of damage on that one.
How much was that, Pete?
1 point.
Oh, okay.
Jonathan.
Yeah.
In what comic did he make his first appearance?
Iron Man?
Yeah.
Should
I just roll this die?
No. Oh, hell.
These are expert questions. So these are the hardest ones of the bunch.
Oh, do I know this? Heck, that's bad audio. Let's come up with something funny. It's one of those tails, action tails, spider. No, what the? I don't, tails something. I don't know.
Say a word. Tails. Tails of
the crypt.
Oh, tails of Iron Man.
Oh. I don't get it. Tales of loving your heart. I don't know. Tales of
goodness. So close. You were on the right track. Tales of suspense.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
3 points of damage.
Okay. That happened.
Jonathan. Sorry. Okay. Jonathan, you're attacking Mike.
Woo.
Old school anime.
Okay.
What is Racer X's car number?
Like from Speed Racer, right?
Oh. Yeah.
Sure. 9.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mike, take 3 points of damage.
Damn, but I knew the answer.
That's actually the first question I knew the answer to without having to think about it.
All right, well, here's where it gets a little tougher. Jonathan, what is the car's name?
Wait, it has a name?
Yeah.
Count Dooku. No.
You know, like Speed Racer's car was, his number was 5 and it was the Mach 5.
Yeah.
But Racer X's car is 9, but it also had a name.
I don't know.
It was called the Shooting Star.
That's stupid.
Take 5 points, Jonathan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's stupid. No, sorry. All right, Mike, you're going up against Adrian. Mike, you lucky. Breaking Bad is the category.
Oh.
Adrian might be going down. who is Walter White's sharp yet colorfully dressed lawyer?
Oh my God.
You know this.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to give you his full name.
Right. Why am I drawing? I'm drawing a blank and I need to clear my head for a second. Shit.
That's not his name. That's not the first or the last.
Oh my goodness. I cannot believe I'm blanking on this.
Do you have a special ability that can help you out? I don't think so. Do you?
No. No.
Well, you could ignore the damage from any threat. So if you could just say, I'm wrong and I'll just use it. It's up to you. You don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I need a name.
I know. I cannot believe I'm doing this. I'm good. So I'm just blanking on it right now. I know it's the Netflix that it's a great show.
Yep. Hey, Saul Goodman would be the name. Mike, take 4 points of damage. Adrian, what is his catchphrase?
Oh, it can't be that.
My name is Saul Goodman, and Mike Kafis will never remember my name when the chips are down.
Oh, my God. No, it's better call Saul.
Again.
Points.
Five?
Yes.
No problem.
So I believe that, Jonathan, that was your question, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Mike, come to a hall. Blocking your path is a dungeon cleaner that is currently dissolving a hapless victim. It's like a big, giant, gooey, cube-like shaped thing that's not called a gelatinous cube. It's called a dungeon cleaner. You can make an agility check to climb the wall and let it pass underneath, or you can destroy the thing and take whatever's inside.
I want to take something.
All right. Doctor Who, Blade Runner, or fantasy?
So... Fantasy. Doctor Who.
Doctor Who. All right. What actor played the War Doctor in the Doctor Who TV series?
Oh, I hate this. You know how many times I've come across this question and forgotten it? He's an old doctor.
Yes, he is.
The old series.
And he's got an old gruffly voice.
Yep.
And he's skinny.
Bobo McClanny Pants.
Dude, how did you get that so wrong? John Hurt, Mike. John Hurt. When you know what? That 3 point.
I'm ignoring the damage from this one.
Okay, ignore the damage. All right.
Roll it. I want to see if I did good.
I rolled a 3.
Oh, I didn't do good. Ah, jeez.
That's average. You did average. You should be used to that. All right, Adrian.
You're in.
You come to an observatory, a strange device that looks valuable, but as you inspect it, the rune activates. Do you want to do an agility check to dodge the fiery explosion or make a will save to resist magic and search the artifact?
I'm going to dodge.
Sweet. All right. Good move on your part. Okay. All right. Galaxy Quest, Lego, horror, or Firefly?
Oh, horror.
All right. What is the name of the camp where Jason Voorhees drowns?
Oh, man.
Camp Oman.
You can actually go there now. There's you can actually rent cabin at that place.
Yeah, nope. It's kind of like, no, you can or no, you wouldn't.
No, that's a big nope.
Oh, okay.
That's like if you find a spider in your house, you burn the house down because you ain't motherfucking going back in that motherfucking house.
Yeah, but the thing is, Jason wasn't real.
Or was he? I don't know. Still a nope.
Real. All right. Where did he drown?
Well, it was in a lake, so Camp Lakeside.
No, sorry, that was Camp Crystal Lake.
Well,
what's that?
No, go ahead.
2 points of damage.
Okay, so that takes me down to 0. So obviously, I'm using my quest ability to come back to life.
Berserker.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, he. Jumps
back
up
to 6, right?
And comes back to 6 points. Nicely done.
Yeah.
Nicely done. That's a lot of people just when they play the Berserker, they're just like, I ain't using anything until I get to the end. I'll use my ability then. Yeah. All right. So Jonathan.
Yes, sir.
You come to a mystic well. Your thirst is overpowering and the water is cool and clean. So you take a drink. we'll check to quench your thirst or drink deeply to heal 6 life points. So on this one, you don't get you do. I'm sorry. You also get a magic item too. Ooh, I would take the advance on this one. That's worth a try. So you could heal if you get the advanced right, you heal 6 life points, and there's an item.
Let's do it.
All right. You'd be a fool not to.
I'm a fool, so let's do it.
Geek literature, Greek mythology, or the Matrix?
Greek mythology.
All right. What are the second order of divine beings that preceded the Olympian deities? So you have the Olympians. Who came before the Olympians?
Titans.
That is correct. Woo. Jonathan, heal 6 points. Yay. And the ring of luck. This will allow you to ignore all damage from an attack in a PvP encounter, or will allow you to escape any trap involving magic.
Thank you for Disney Hercules for teaching that to me.
Disney Hercules, Hercules. All right, Mike.
For a short period of time, these titans held on to these ingots. Sorry.
You come to a great hall. As you enter the hall, you hear goblins approaching. Do you want to make a stealth check to hide behind a statue and let them pass, or kill them and take their stuff?
What the hell kind of good stuff would goblins have?
Who knows?
Maybe. All the cool stuff from Goblins R Us?
I've decided that I want to try and win this game, so I'm going to hide from the gobbles.
I'm going to be hiding over here in the corner. Don't mind me.
I'll be over here.
Just like smoking a cigarette? Right. All right. Inside joke. All right. Tolkienverse, so anything J.R.R. Tolkien, no. Modern video games, Firefly, or Gen X cartoons?
Oh.
You know, Gen X cartoons are the cartoons that we grew up with.
Let's do Gen X cartoons.
I wasn't trying to like lead you. I'm just saying. All right.
He wants you to fail. Don't fall for it. It's a twap.
It's a twap. All right. What popular cartoon character wields the Sword of Omens?
I hate you.
Oh, come on. That one is easy as anything.
Talk about baby food.
I never liked all the sword ones.
What kind of fruit grows on apple trees?
This is so easy.
Come on, man.
Read the question again.
I'm like embarrassed to even have this question in the game. What popular cartoon character wields the Sword of Omens?
That's not a He-Man thing. I think that's a Thundercat thing. I think, but I don't like how you're looking at me. So
I'm not. No. I don't take anything from what I'm saying. Just ignore me.
No, so that's
the difference. Thundercats. Which Thundercat would it be?
I know. But I don't know. I don't like the Thundercats, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, get off my show!
Kick me in the balls, okay?
Thunder
cats. Thundaria. That was the place. Thunder. AC/DC. Thunder. I don't know. I fucking get
it. Oh my God. Lion-O.
Yeah, oh, that's his name.
And you know what? I'm glad I rolled a 6.
Stupid cartoon.
You picked it.
What did you watch? Care Bears? What cartoon did you watch?
We Care. Like,
Smurf. Oh my God. All right. Adrian, you come to a kitchen. The smell of food cooking is offset by the stench of an ogre. Do you want to do a stealth check to sneak past the ogre, or kill the ogre and take his stuff?
Well, I want to kill the ogre, but the thing is, it doesn't seem like I'm smart enough, so I'm going to try to sneak past.
All right. That's fair enough. Fair enough. Hitchhiker's Guide, comic books, Stranger Things, or board games? I will tell you this. All my comic book questions usually say Marvel Comics or DC Comics. If I just use the term comic books, it's usually not a Marvel or a DC or like a super popular one. So unless you're like really a comic book guy.
Okay.
Anyway, Hitchhiker's Guide, comic books, Stranger Things, or board games?
Oh, geez. Let's try board games.
Okay. In Stratego, what piece can defuse bombs?
Oh, it's the, what is it called? Is it the engineer?
I'm sorry. It is the miner or the sapper.
Is that number 8 or is that number 7?
I don't remember. Adrian. Oh, only 1 point, Adrian.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Still in the game. Jonathan.
Woo.
Jonathan, you come to a temple. This is good for you.
I pray and thank her, the deity's help in answering the question.
Don't pray here, because as you search this unholy temple, you trigger an unholy rune.
Ooh.
I believe you have the Ring of Luck. So this is a trap involving magic. So if you want, if you decide to use that, like if you get the question wrong, that's a good place to use that one. Oh. Do you want to make a will save to resist the evil spell and flee, or a will save to defeat the spell and search the room? Now, being that you know you have a ring and you're maybe considering using it, you might want to go for the better one, because then you might get the magic item if you get it right. If you get it wrong, you can always just forget the damage. It's up to you.
I'm going to search. I'm a ranger. It's what we do. We use our eyes and...
Fantastic. All right. Astronomy, board games, or modern anime?
Board games.
All right. What is the small piece of wood or plastic used to indicate a spirit's message on a Ouija board called? Ooh. So that little thing that they move around, what is that thing called? It has a name.
I know that.
I don't. So I do. I'm just going to say the Oculus, and I'm going to be wrong, and I'll use my ring of luck.
All right, that's fine. So you take no damage and use up your item. Adrian, what is it called?
A plinth.
Yes. All right, Mike. That is correct, Adrian. Mike, you come to a T in the hall. As you turn the corner, the floor gives way to a pit full of spikes.
A pit of spikes.
You want to make an agility check to leap out of danger, or a climb check to go into the pit and grab a piece of treasure from a victim that lies below?
I shall pirouette into the pit.
Ah, all right. Brave soul. Brave soul. Brave soul, Mikey. All right. Biology, fantasy, or the Matrix?
Oh, Matrix.
All right. It's Matrix, not the Matrix. It could be any Matrixy thing. Just saying.
Man, he could ask you to solve like a Matrix mathematical problem or something. No,
I'm just saying there's
true. Matrices are hard.
Yeah, they are. It's not. It doesn't necessarily mean the first movie. So are you sure you still want to stick with the Matrix? Just making sure.
Yeah.
I didn't want to mislead you. All right. What is the name of the collection of animated short films detailing the backstory of the Matrix universe?
The Animatrix.
Woo! Fantastic. Yeah. Mikey, you did good. You get a staff.
I'm a sucker for shiny. What is it?
Staff of Striking. You can deliver a minimum of 3 points of damage. So if you attack one of the other two, and you roll a d6, if you roll less than three, it'll do three. Or you can automatically defeat any encounter.
Wait a minute. Did you say a staff of striking?
Striking there, Mikey. Striking. Just watch where you put your hands on that staff. All right. So, Adrian, you come into a library. You enter the library to find a horrid beast eating the brain of a hapless victim. Not a mind flayer. Didn't call it that. Called it a mind eater. Make a will check to resist mind erasure and run, or slaughter it and search for treasure.
I'm going to run.
All right. Yeah, I would too. The things are scary looking.
Yeah.
Little mini Cthulhus. All right. Tarantino-verse, fantasy, modern sci-fi, or astronomy?
Let's try modern sci-fi.
Okay. What rebooted series is famous for the phrase, "So say we all"? It's a rebooted series, and they very frequently say, "So say we all."
Yes, we do.
A minute. Is that a "so say we all"?
Hey there. So say we all. Come here. Hit my life.
I don't have a clue. You fucking guys.
Oh, can I steal it? Can I?
No, you can't steal it, but you can go ahead and say it.
So Battlestar Galactica, the reimagined series?
That's correct. Adrian.
Ending, right?
2 points of damage. You hold up there?
Yeah, that's nothing.
That's not nothing right here. All right, Jonathan.
Yes.
You enter a chamber with a giant nest of eggs and a centipede.
Ew.
This is really nasty. You can sneak past the centipede or kill it and search its nest full of eggs for treasure.
Oh, centipedes are so good. All they're so good.
Eggs and bacon?
We are so sneaking past that scary thing and setting fire to the room.
From orbit.
Just burn it down.
Horror, Game of Thrones, Matrix, or Norse mythology?
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, safe bet.
Peter Baelish is known by what nickname?
Well, it's because his home was in an area known as, Littlefinger.
That's correct. And you're right. It does have to do where his home was.
The fingers, yeah.
Fingers, and he's from
the... Not because he has a tiny dick. Nothing to do with
that. I used to think that. Then I looked it up. All right. So, Mike, speaking of... room is filled with a glowing cloud of spores. The floor is littered with bodies. Stamina check to resist the poison or power through the mold and search the bodies.
Power through.
All right. My man, he's bold. Roman mythology, biology, or horror?
Now, is this where I could use my staff of striking to automatically defeat any encounter?
This is not an encounter. This is a hazard.
Gotcha. Deadly mold. Okay. Yeah. What are my choices again?
Roman mythology, biology, or horror?
Biology.
All right. In the brain, what is the delicate web of connective tissue that surrounds and supports the nerve cells? So you have the neurons, and then you've got these things that hold the neurons in place.
The matrix. I'm sorry, the animatrix.
Mike, they're called the glia. You take 5 points of damage.
Stupid glia.
That has to hurt.
They are actually, I believe they're the gray matter, and the neurons are the white matter. All right, so Adrian...
What does it matter?
Nothing
brain,
else.
Brain matter.
Nothing
All right,
else matters.
Nothing really matters anymore.
The heroes come together to do battle. Oh, boy. All right, this is a grand melee. This is everybody. Start with Adrian.
Should we all figure out? Should we all, like, tell us what our... I'm just curious.
Let's get a point.
I've Adrian. Got three.
All right. Jonathan?
15.
Oh, boy. Mike?
I have three.
You have three.
Are you fucking kidding me? John's gonna win.
We didn't say that.
You never know with this game.
As I used to say on the podcast, there's a podcast version of this, by the way. It's a lot of fun to listen to. It's anybody's game except for Mike and Adrian. All right, so you got pretty lucky. Your first question is Star Wars. What is the name? Oh boy, maybe not. What is the name of the Doug that Anakin competes against in The Phantom Menace? So he races against this thing. It's called a Doug. What is its name?
That's for me.
Oh yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm.
Dig Doug.
Oh, I noticed.
They've got a good name. It's Sebulba. Sebulba. Sorry, Sebulba. Yes. All right, Adrian. Oh, Adrian. I'm sorry. We have our first casualty. Adrian, that was 6 points of damage. Oh,
going out in style.
Dead because you can't. There's no sense in Jonathan asking back. So, Jonathan, you're up. Okay. You're up against Mike. Biology is your category.
Mine?
It's Jonathan.
Okay, good.
He's attacking you. Right. Jonathan, what are often referred to as the cell's power plant?
Mitochondria?
Correct. Mike, 3 points of damage.
That takes me out, or am I alive at zero?
Hold on. Have you used your special ability yet?
Wait a minute. I don't.
You have not. Use your special ability. Ignore damage from any threat.
Yeah, that.
You're good.
All right. You're good. Unless Jonathan gets this one right. Jonathan, which parent do we get our mitochondrial DNA from? 50-50 here. Well, in the modern age, it might be more than 50-50, but we're just going to go with 50-50 here.
Is it our mommies?
That is correct.
I knew that.
Oh, Mike, you lucky. 2 points of damage.
Wait, hang in there, Mike. Left.
Come on, Mike. You can still win.
I have. Hey, I've won like this before.
I believe it.
All right, Mike.
Yes.
You against Jonathan there.
All right. Let's do it.
The question is RPGs.
Let's do it. I know RPGs.
All right. What?
Grenades. Go ahead.
What was the first company to gain a license for an RPG set in the Star Wars universe? There's no way.
You mean there's more than one?
Yes, there's been a ton of people get Star Wars.
Yep.
Star Wars, it changes like every 2 years from one company to another. But who was the first?
I know it's wrong.
Just say it.
Margaret Weiss.
No, I think she did have it at one point. I'm not sure. But all right, Jonathan, what do you think it is?
Is it West End Games?
You're correct.
For their D6 system?
Yes, Mike, you take 4 points of damage.
I used to work for West End Games back then, so that's technically correct.
So I think that means we have a winner.
Yay!
You have won. How cool is it that you won on your show?
It's unbelievable is what it is.
Certainly unbelievable.
All right, so that is the RPG version of this game. And like I said, otherwise you would normally just use the questions and ask each other questions just like we played.
Yeah, the token system is really good too. It's fun. It's very fast paced.
Yeah. Yep. So that's it. So what do you think?
Adrian, what do you think?
Yeah. No, it was awesome. I loved it. Yeah. It's not the kind of game I have much of a chance in because I'm not smart. I don't know things, but
yeah, that is the downside. Every time I play this with people, they're always like, "Oh, I feel so dumb at the end of it." Like, no, you got to remember. Like, remember when we played Trivial Pursuit and we all were dumb, and like, you know, we all feel like, "Oh man, this thing keeps going around the board. Keeps going around the board." Right?
But
trivia is hard. Trivia is very, very hard.
Trivia is not trivial.
Right, and I'll tell you, it was very difficult. It's taken me 8 years to generate all these questions. Yeah. And it was not easy because writing good trivia questions is very, you can't make them like ridiculous. You know, you can't say like, who was the third cousin of Peter Baelish from book 2? You know, you can't do that. It's like, nobody's gonna get that. No one cares. And they're going to like throw the game against the wall. The questions have to be like, you know,
I used to know
it. Do that. Or someone at the table knows it. Like as long as like, you know, if you have a table full of people and someone is like, oh, I know that, or I knew that, or they were like, oh, I should have known that, then it's generally a good question. And these generally, most of these have come out that way.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was great. That's a lot of fun. I like it.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. All right, Jonathan, that's all I got.
Well, I think you did a great job as usual running a game. You have a lot of talent and skill in that. Thank you for doing it, Pete.
Yeah, no problem. It's fun.
This is my fourth, fifth time playing Cube of Death with you guys.
I think so. Yeah.
And every time it gets better than the time before. I have to say that for anyone who's on the fence, and you shouldn't be, but for anyone who's on the fence about picking up Cube of Death back in the Kickstarter, buying the game and playing it with your friends, you really just need to grab it because it's one of those games you're going to pick up, you're going to play time and time again, and you're going to say to yourself, why did I never get this before? Because it is just so good. There's so much depth to it. So easy to play, so easy to get into, but every game is different. And so you're always on your toes. You always have a chance. And I like that because like some games, you know, you play and unless you do A, B, and C in a certain order, you have no shot whatsoever. Like this, you don't need to know all the answers. You can still win. So it's just, it's great. You've done a wonderful job, Pete.
Thank you. Yeah, that was the idea. The idea was to make sure that people playing this, you didn't have to be like the smartest person in the room. You could be Mike. And you could still win, you know, just using it, you know, being strategic, you know, like not always going for the advance is nice. Cause you get magic items, right? And magic items are awesome. And they do help you win the game if you're really smart, but honestly, the advanced questions are ones you should go for a lot. If you know a lot of trivia, like if you are like a very good trivia person, cause then you're using your knowledge to cash in on magic items. Yeah. Right. But if not, go for the easy ones, get those right. Just skate through, right? Let the other people take all the damage. And in D&D, ever notice like the adventurers, they or any role-playing game, the people who are the most daring are the ones that usually buy it. So that's I don't know, I think it's pretty cool.
It's like you're speaking my life motto, just let the others take the damage while I stay safe and behind. Maybe that's why, Adrian, I like to play a wizard.
Maybe so.
Or it's just because I'm useless. I don't know which.
All right, so Jonathan, when this show goes live, this Kickstarter should already be launched or very near because we're launching August 6th.
And so you'll be successfully funded and rolling in the dough.
I hope so. I certainly hope so.
I'm predicting it's a huge success for you guys. You're going to do very well.
Everybody should go to your Kickstarter and type in Cube of Death. We're the only one, but it's if you want, it's kickstarter.com/projects/TSRGames/cube-of-death is the page. And I believe you could even go there right now for you guys before it even launches and you can take a look at it. So basically the game is $25. You get everything. Yeah. That's like the main reward level. It's going to come in a sturdy box. I didn't send you the box. The box is still in design, but I mean, it's been designed. It's just, they're very expensive. So I didn't buy them for the promos that I sent out to people. But you can buy that for $25. That's it. If you want to pay a little extra, I got some extra rewards in there for, you can get, you can tell me what adventure card you want. So you can design an adventure card. For some extra money. There's question cards you can design for extra money. And there are character cards that you can have input on for, you know, extra money as well as one of the levels. And that's the most expensive level because then you become a character. You actually get to dictate what the character's, what it's going to look like. Now, not totally. You can't like tell me that it's going to have, you know, six arms coming out of its face, but you have input. So in other words, I have to approve it. But you'll have input. So if you're like, well, I'd like it to look kind of like me or like my character I play in D&D or whatever, then one of the characters will become you.
How much are those levels?
I can look at that. Hold on, give me 1 second.
Because it's 25 to get a copy of the game.
Right.
I presume you have a dollar level just so people can follow along and then up it later on.
So I call level one is tip jar. That's $1. Thank you. So you can follow along. The basic level is $25. There is a retailer level. So I worked with Brendan Hill to help come up with this level.
Smart.
If you are a retailer, now we have to verify it, but as soon as you make the pledge, you'll get verified. Cause there's a way to do that. You'll have a number. I think the retailers have some kind of number or something.
EIN.
Yeah. And that is 5 copies of the game for $65, which is just a shade under half price. So you can sell it in your store. You can double the price, sell it in your store for buying 5 copies. And you can buy multiple sets of those if you like, you know, if you want to. So then there's Trivia Master. And Trivia Master gives you a copy of the game, but it also lets you make a custom question card. So one of the cards in the game will be yours. And you can pick the number. So these cards are numbered so I can track them. So there's the 10 series, the 20 series, and the 30 series. So if, like, for example, there's only a few of these that are not available. One of them is my daughter's birthday. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. I don't know if people know my daughter's birthday. But one of the cards is my daughter's card. So they're all questions that she helped me put together. So there are things that she likes, properties that she likes. So that's her card. But there, you could have a card in this deck and it can be any card you want. There's Dungeon Lord, which is $150. And that is, you get to design one of the rooms in the dungeon. And then for $250 that's the hero level. And there's only a couple of these available. So like for the hero, there's 4, for the Dungeon Lord, there's 5. And for the Trivia Master, there are 20. So those, I mean, people want to kick in. It's fine. If you don't, buy the game and enjoy it. I want to keep it simple. And as for stretch goals, I really don't know that I'm going to have stretch goals. I might, I don't know. People, stretch goals hurt projects sometimes, you know, because like you're trying to figure out a price. Very hard doing all the logistics on this, figuring out how much it should cost so you don't hurt yourself and don't hurt the project. You know, they want to add in maps and t-shirts and all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, but then you have to like, it messes with the logistics and how much it's going to cost you to print these things out. So if I do stretch goals, which I may, it depends. It'll probably just be like more adventure cards. Maybe I'll add to some of the question cards or something, or maybe I'll upgrade the quality of the cards. I'll make them linen, or if it's doing like really well, maybe I'll make the cards plastic.
That's a good way to go.
Yeah. So something like that. Something that doesn't add really much, but it makes the game better.
Are you going to do anything like social goals? I know that's been a kind of up and coming thing where if a certain number of people, you know, share it on Instagram or whatever, then something happens.
You know, I don't know. I was talking to Jason Elliott and he was telling me there is like, there's tools for like, measuring who shared what on like, on Twitter.
Yeah.
Way to track that. And if we do that, we could probably do something like that. Like, I don't know, maybe put in a random thing, everybody, you know, whoever tweets the most over a certain, like over this week or whatever, maybe they'll get, their copy will be comped or something like that. I don't know.
It's cool.
You know, something, we'll figure out something. I'll talk to Jason about it. That is sort of on the Jason end of things. Cause I'm busy creating and making it happen. And he is on the promotional production side of things.
No, that's awesome. It's great. You have this division of labor.
Yeah, I had to, it's too much for one person. I think anyone who runs a Kickstarter all by themselves is maybe a little nutty. I don't know. I think you need help. It's a lot of work. It's a ton of work.
I can believe, especially if you're dealing with something physical like your death, where you, yeah, like you said, all the logistics and fulfillment. As soon as you get into that, it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah. And oh, so I do have a promotional strategy that I think you guys are going to enjoy. I think everyone will enjoy. So people get tired of being reminded about your Kickstarter, right? And I get it. I hate seeing them too. So I came up with a way to make it worth your while. So I'm going to remind people on a regular basis, but I'm going to give back. I'm giving you something for it. You get a present for being reminded. Every day on TSR's Twitter, we're going to tweet a question. So we're going to tweet a trivia question. If you click on the link, it'll give you the answer and it'll give you a whole bunch of information about it. And then, you know, give you, and that's where you'll get the pitch to go do the Kickstarter. So if you see the tweet, if you're like, oh, you know, who has the Sword of Omens, Mike, if you know the answer, you could just type it in and move on. Right. But if you want to find out more, you can click on it and I'll take you to it and it'll give you a little, you know, give you a little blurb of information about it, a link to get more information about it. And then that's where the reminder for the Kickstarter will be. So I'm trying to make it as innocuous as possible.
Cool.
Yep.
That's definitely a good way to do it. Cause you're right. Those reminders just really annoy people. And eventually some people who back end up not backing.
You mean, right, they back out?
Hashtag.
And I want to make this promise. I've put this together. I got to make it happen. So I'm just going to say it's going to happen. If it doesn't, don't shoot me. I have planned out to do a number of videos, like really short, like 5-minute videos. And I'm calling it 6 things you might not know about. And it's a topic. So 6 things you might not know about Star Wars. And I'll pick 6, you know, really interesting things about it. And I'm going to do a short video and put up on the thing. And it's like, and if you like trivia, check out our Kickstarter.
Cool.
Very cool.
So people can definitely look for that on Facebook then?
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be on TSR. Go to TSR Games Facebook page. That's where this is all being run through.
Cool.
And that's where all the info is.
We'll definitely have links to your Kickstarter once it goes live, so people can check that out on our social media. And speaking of social media, if people want to keep up to date with all the stuff that you guys are doing, do we want to go around the table and just share how people can connect? Yeah. Adrian, do you want to start?
Yeah, I'd love to start. Thanks.
I thought you might, especially with your Twitter account.
So Twitter, whatever. I'm on Twitter, abenson229. I don't tweet much. You can tweet at me if you want to. Knock yourself out. The easiest way to get in touch with me, though, if you really want to, is through the Wargaming Recon Facebook page and the Wargaming Recon podcast fan
Smoke
club.
Smoke signals,
page.
Too.
What's that?
Smoke signals?
Sure, yeah. Next.
Hey, Mike, how about you?
Oh, man, I'm trying to find Abe Benson on Twitter, man.
you need to do the Morse code, and then he gets it on his old telegraph?
I just sent a... I sent a raven, but he doesn't even know what the hell that means.
No, he doesn't.
No, whatever.
The damn crows.
I am MikeKafes on Twitter. Also, I run the Mythwits, MythWits Twitter. You know, throw words in my face at either place. We're also on, the Mythwits are on Facebook, facebook.com/Mythwits. Watch our shows, share it with people. We're looking for listeners. We're looking for people to make us feel better about ourselves because, you know, we need that. We're shallow.
And when can people watch your show?
Monday nights at 9 p.m.
There you go. So do we get bonus points if we throw really large words at you, like dodecahedron?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the longer, the better.
Especially if it's nice and big and thick.
And
Wow.
Double C.
Well, so hey, if you throw a really big word ass, we'll give you one of these.
I love it.
All right. So yeah, as Mike, I'm part of the Mythwits as well, but lately I've been focusing on TSR Games. Make sure you check out tsrgames.com. We're an up and coming indie game developer. I know it's a name you've heard before, and no, we do not have D&D. It's a whole trademark thing. The trademark went fallow. Jason worked with some of the Gygax folks to bring it back from the dead, but they are no longer with it. But we're still TSR Games. But we have Top Secret New World Order is out. It's awesome. We're selling its box set. It's awesome. There are the adventure books called Pantheon Press, which are a bunch of little adventure books. You can still buy the Gygax magazines for the 6-issue run that it had. There are some, I believe, if I remember correctly, there are some D&D modules that are being developed and other things in the works. There's a bunch of stuff behind the scenes I can't talk about yet. But there's a game called Cube of Death that they're going to be selling very soon. So so check out TSR Games. And The Hunt. I'm forgetting about The Hunt. The Hunt is such a fun game.
How could you forget The Hunt?
I know, right? I love running The Hunt. The Hunt is awesome. It's this like mashup hybrid RPG skirmish game. So you have figures and you go through it's like Running Man. So you go through a maze and you fight each other. But you got a character, but it's not like a character you'd play for weeks on end. It's a character you play for that one match, and it's over the top. You're supposed to like insult each other and showboat. You get points for that, you know, just like a wrestling match. So it's like WWE with swords and guns, and it's fun. It's so much fun. I love that game.
It's great, Adrian. It kind of reminds me of Frag, but to the nth degree.
Yeah, Frag was fun. Will the Hunt? Will that should be on our radar?
You should buy it, and yeah, then we could review it.
I should buy it. I should buy it so we could review it.
It's not that expensive. I think it's like $20.
Oh, I was thinking it was like 10 for the PDF.
And you get two. I don't know if he's selling it as PDF. I think he's just selling it as a
physical. Is it a physical thing? Yeah. It must be.
All right. So the game was sold back in the early 90s. You'll love it, Adrian. It's a game from the early 90s. It was kind of just sitting in someone's garage for the last 15 years. Yeah. James Carpio had remembered it. And when TSR was looking for new projects, James was like, I want to talk to that guy and see if he'll sell it. So James found the guy, contacted him, and he said, yeah, I got a whole box full of them in my garage, you know, I got a stack of these things. Oh, and so James struck a deal up with him, and TSR is selling The Hunt. So it's vintage, man. It's like you open that book, it smells like 1991.
Limited edition bundle, $20.
You can see the mullet still on the book.
And as far as I know, once these are sold, that's it. They're gone. We're going to do a second version. So there's going to be a new version out.
New World Order.
Give me a little while. What's that?
The Hunt. New World Order.
I'll tell you what, though. If you come to TotalCon this year, I'm going to be running The Hunt, and I'm doing a special hunt. I'm doing an Aliens versus Predator hunt. So it's The Hunt, but I'm throwing Aliens and Predators in it.
That's all cool.
Right. All right.
If only we had an in with TSR Games to have them send us a copy for us to review on the show.
That might happen. That
could, we might have to figure out a way, right, Adrian?
That
yeah.
Ability.
Tightwad at TSR, though.
Tightwad at TSR. Yeah. Email tightwad@tsrgames.com.
Really? Really? You guys have a tightwad that works at TSR Games? Because we've got one that works at Wargaming Recon.
He's moonlighting it.
You gotta rub those pennies together, make some fire out of it.
You should buy that so we can review it. Fuck you.
It's all right. It's all right, Jonathan. I'm the you in this relationship.
Yeah. Money flows one direction.
I felt a strong affinity to you, Mike, and I now know why.
Yep.
We are, of course, on all the things everywhere, including the backs of Cube of Death cards as Wargaming Recon. And you can find us really everywhere you listen to podcasts, everywhere you hang out on social media. We're that creepy dude hanging around the corner saying, hey, you want to play this game? And you say, yeah, because you think, why not? Because you're bored. And then next thing you know, you have a great time and you joined a board gaming cult. So that's us, Wargaming Recon, all sorts of games all the time. Guys, thank you so much for coming on. This has been spectacular.
Awesome.
It has been great, yeah.
Thanks for having us.
And since we're talking a little bit about TSR, we have a brief bit of news here at Wargaming Recon starting August 1st. So depending on when you're listening to this in your own time-space continuum, it may have, is happening, or will be about to happen. We're signing our third and final sponsor. So we're getting a little more stability here at the show, which is great, so we can do more stuff to make content for all of you. And we're really excited that the Wargaming Company is sponsoring us, and they create a game that you love, Adrian.
I do, ESR. It's Sans Resultat. Very exciting.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So good things coming from this partnership.
Yeah.
So we got our little trifecta going on here. Our own plinth. What a stupid name. Our own plinth going on. It's our Triforce.
That the two Racer X questions were the only fucking questions I had any fucking clue. I'm not even sure if I should be on a geek-related podcast.
You play old curmudgeon role.
You know what you could do? It's not too late. Send me some war game questions, trivia questions, and I'll swap out some of the ones I got here for him, and just, you know, in time.
It'll be the special Adrian edition, Vlad Adrian edition.
Yes,
because Adrian is going to pay for the card, not you.
Yeah.
So you're back at that level, okay?
Right.
Yeah. And then I'll give him the questions.
Right.
Legit.
So good.
Perfect relationship.
It's always a blast when you guys come on. We have a wonderful time. It's fantastic.
Glad we could be here.
I'm just glad everyone was awake this time around, because people, Adrian, have no sense of responsibility.
None whatsoever.
Jerks.
Drive their friends to distraction, they do.
And then your guest shows up 15 minutes late because he fell asleep.
We are all so old.
It's crazy. I'm just sitting there and I blinked and it was like 20 minutes later. I'm like, oh, I got to get up.
I have an official napping chair. Like I sit in and I put my feet up and then out, and it's great. And then I wake up an hour later like, what the hell happened?
Right. Right.
Yeah. Old man syndrome. It's not a bad thing, though.
No, it's fine.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Wargaming Recon. Guys, thank you again for coming on, and we're going to have you on again. It's always a fantastic time. And Pete, I can't wait for Cube of Death to come out. You know what? What?
I said yes!
Oh, I was like, I know I got a demo copy, but I need to back this. And Adrian, of course, will be backing too, because that's what he does.
The demo copy you have is only like a third of it, so...
Well, that's the thing. Like, I know there has to be so much more, and I'm just excited about this. And look how happy Adrian is. I've never seen him this happy in my life.
See? That's probably... No, I was just sitting here thinking that's probably true. Do you know why you never see me happy?
I know what you're going to say, but go ahead.
Because every time you see me, you're there. It's a cause and effect kind of thing.
That's awesome. I have to remember that.
Almost enough to give a guy a complex.
I'm using that on you, Mike. Yeah.
Quick trademark that, Adrian. It's yours now. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Wargaming Recon. Know that you got to go and check out that Kickstarter. Make sure you get your own copy of Cube of Death and all the other wonderful things that TSR Games is doing. And be sure to listen to The Mythwits. Check out everything that Mike and Pete are working on. And, you know, tweet at Adrian because he loves the Twitter. But really, thank you all for taking the time to listen to this episode of the show. And remember, no matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how many times you can't get the easy question right about Lion-O, you know that you have to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon on your mobile device. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other good shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade.
Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 17th to the 19th, 2019 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.